Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Not, it's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Hey, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So if you didn't happen to get over there yesterday, there's still plenty of time for you to stop by there today and see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, Dan, well, it's that lovely time of year where people call into work the next couple days and everybody builds a bracket. And I myself accidentally did two because I always do one on the Mickey Mouse website. And when I clicked the link, it took me to a bracket. I thought it was the one I had set up. So I filled it out and it just turned out to be a generic link to another bracket. So I ended up doing two. Which is a switch for me. Normally, I just do one. But the only game I had any interest in, Dan, today was Loyola Chicago against Miami. And the games are on so many networks, I couldn't find the damn thing. And I missed Loyola hitting a game-winning three-pointer at the buzzer to win.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was the... That was my NCAA story for the day, Dan. That's all I got. Did you, I know you're about as into it as I am. Did you bother to fill out a bracket or look at anything that was going on?
No. I could care less, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I think I did pick, I had Virginia in one of my brackets and Arizona in the other one. So if you did, you picked that like I did, you're doomed because I never do very well at these. But, yeah, that was just kind of my, you know, to add to my frustration for the day. It was like, you know, this was the one game I wanted to see, the local team, you know, I mean, you know, a smaller school, you know, it's always nice to kind of root for the underdog. And, you know, I had seen a couple of the projections while, you know, I was at SportsCenter on or whatever. I was just kind of, you know, chugging along, doing in the background. And, you know, everybody really, you know, thought they had a really good shot to win this game. And, I to tell you the truth, I haven't seen them play more than, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes all season because I caught some of their tournament when they won to get into the NCAA. But, yeah, you know, other than that, I don't know anything about them. So I thought it would be fun to pick them in the first round. And they did get a win, and at least I got that game right. But couldn't find the damn thing. I guess it ended up being on True TV. And I realized that last show I watched on True TV was Jesse Ventura's Conspiracy Theory. And I don't even remember how long ago that was on. Do you?
10 years? I don't know.
That's the last time I've actually had True TV on. And I had no idea where it was in the channel listings. And by the time I finally found it, the game was over. So I was like, oh, well. Maybe I'll get to see some of their round two game. It'll be on a network I can actually find. But yeah, that's Dan and mine's huge analysis of the NCAA tournament. So I hope you guys enjoyed it because that's about all either of us know. Unless you're hiding some knowledge somewhere.
No.
Well. So, all right. Well, I'm trying to think, you know, what else? You know, I know there were a couple... you know, the basic stuff. I mean, the big surprise, Dan, the Rays are going to let Chris Archer start opening day. And then the Mets have announced that Noah Syndergaard will be their opening day starter. So no no real surprises there. For a minute there, I thought the Braves were going to, the Rays were going to announce you as the opening day starter, but that was a little disappointing. So they did go with Archer. So yeah, no surprise there for you on any of that stuff.
No, I mean, who else would they start? Denard Cannon?
There you go. I never thought of that. Can he pitch? So, but I do want to know. I just saw this story. I don't know when it came out, but I'm wondering how disappointed you are that the Cubs have released Justin Grimm.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, I was kind of cruising through some MLB story highlights, and it's right there. Cubs release Justin Grimm.
Well, they had no more options left with him. They couldn't continuously bring him up and bring him down all season. So, which I think is weird because they went to arbitration and they paid him where they were supposed to. I don't know how that worked.
Yeah, does he get paid or does he get a prorated fee of that, or how does that work? Because I mean, you know, it's not a guaranteed salary, right? So I wonder how that kind of works out. And you know, they're a bullpen, you know, in some flux there. But to be fair, Grimm wasn't actually very good this season. He had 4 appearances covering 4 innings, and gave up 4 runs, a couple bombs, walked 4, struck out 2. So yeah, not a super productive spring. He actually wasn't very good last year either. He pitched in, believe it or not, he pitched in 50 games, even as much as he bounced up and down. 1-2 with a 5.53 ERA that covered 55 and a third inning. So yeah, no, he's 2 years away from his best year, when he had a 1.99 ERA coming out of the bullpen 62 times back in 2015. So I can't say this is a shock. I actually saw one of his outings, Dan, this year. I had the Cubs on, and he mowed down the first 2 guys. You know, I mean, he blew one guy away, and then he had another guy just pop up weakly to, like, I think it was second base. Then he went out and proceeded to walk the next 2 guys and give up 2 hits and give up, you know, 2 runs. So, I mean, he went from, man, he looks really good as a, you know, a reliever out there, to why the hell is this guy still pitching? So, yeah, I just, you know, it was like the definition of Jekyll and Hyde, you know, in one inning. So.
Yeah, well, sometimes they drag guys along for too long. But, you know, that just guarantees Justin Wilson a spot, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, you figured they were probably going to take another look at Justin Wilson anyways, just for the fact that he's left-handed. So, you know, but yeah, it was, you know, the bullpen is going to be a, you know, quite an interesting scenario for the Cubs this season when we, you know, when we get up and rolling. I mean, that, you know, they added some, you know, some interesting guys. I mean, Morrow has put up really good numbers since moving into the bullpen, but he's never been a full-time closer. You know, I mean, they brought in Steve Cishek, whose best closing years are behind him, but I guess if you get desperate, you use the guy. I mean, I can Brian Dunsing be as good as he was last year, or you think that was just kind of a fluke?
I think he could do it again, but, you know, it could be a fluke too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, they'll have Mike Montgomery, who'll be able to, you know, fill in spots. You know, Pedro Strop and Carl Edwards Jr. are back, and, you know, you mentioned Justin Wilson. So we'll have to see. You know, I don't know if they have any, you know, what you would call, like, young stud-like relievers coming through the pipe, because they, you know, they used all those guys as trade bait because, obviously, they're smart and trying to win now. But, you know, we'll have to see if maybe, you know, one of these guys works out and he can help out in the middle. And but yeah, it's, you know, it's definitely, when you look at the team, it's by far the biggest weakness they have. You know, they're not the only one with it. A lot of teams went, you know, kind of a different route instead of going out and grabbing that traditional closer or developing their guy. You know, the Cubs are going with Brandon Morrow. You know, the Cardinals are going with a, you know, with an unproven guy. They did bring in Luke Gregerson to back him up. You know, and that, you know, it's, again, you know, it's another one of these things where, you know, baseball is kind of shifting from that traditional, you know, closer, and a lot of teams still have them, to, you know, just kind of the, you know, the bullpen by committee. You know, and like, I mean, Dan, can you tell me who the White Sox closer is? I can't even think about it. I mean, you know, it was David Robertson, but they sent him off to the Yankees.
They signed Joaquin Benoit.
You mean Joaquin Soria?
Soria, that's what I meant.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I actually clicked over. Yeah, they have him listed as their bullpen, but believe it or not, they don't have him as their closer. But I guess he's the choice, right? So. So, yeah, you know, yeah, it was just one of those things. I mean, it didn't pop into my head. I mean, you know, I mean, with the exception of maybe some of the bigger name guys, do you know, like, some of these closers that these teams are going to use? I mean, you know, obviously we know the Dodgers are going to use Kenley Jansen. You know, and since we're up on the Giants, we know it's going to be Mark Melanson. You know, but I mean, like, if we stayed in that division, can you tell me the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, or the Padres closer?
Oh, the Diamondbacks is between Archie Bradley and somebody else? Or was that last year with him and...
Well, no, they had your guy Fernando Rodney last year, so I think you're right. I think they're going to look at Bradley closer. Oh, and then the Rockies signed Wade Davis, right? So they're going to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Padres still have Brad Hand, so my guess is he would be their closer. So, you know, we kind of figured that out. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you kind of wonder, you know, is this the new thing? You see teams kind of working it where they have more than one guy who can step in and fill the role?
Well, I mean, if you don't have a shutdown lights-out closer, don't you? You have to go that route. And even if you do have your dedicated shoulder closer, like Wade Davis, I mean, you still need another guy. He can't go out there every single day of the week and do it. It just can't be.
Damn it, he should be.
Granted, you're not. Oh. Yeah, well, I mean, they're not going to be in a position 6 days out of the week to, you know, get the closer in a closing position, but. I mean, you know, you can't expect Wade Davis or Aroldis Chapman, for that matter, to go, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I don't know why not. I think they should just run them out there every day, don't you? Oh, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just, you know, I'm going to have to figure these guys out here in a couple weeks. So I know, you know, so I'm not picking Justin Grimm, and he's not on a team somewhere. Not that I would ever pick Justin Grimm, but, you know. So, but yeah, now, you know, I don't know if you heard this one, Dan, but I thought it was kind of humorous. Apparently, and I'm guessing this was just in an exhibition game or something, somehow these two met up. Aaron Judge mentioned to Manny Machado that he would look good in pinstripes, you know, obviously hinting at the fact that Machado is going to hit the free agent market and, you know, he would, you know, be a wonderful fit for the Yankees. Major League Baseball came out today and said that they were unhappy with Aaron Judge recruiting Manny Machado. Dan, it's really tough crap, right? There's nothing they can do about it because it's just two guys talking, isn't it?
Pretty much. I mean, it's not like Judge can go to the front office and say, hey, you need to sign this guy, or, you know, he's looking for a 5-year, $300 million deal.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously it's not like, you know, they're going to negotiate terms or anything, but, you know, what was weird, Dan, is can you imagine how many guys are going to do this with Machado during the season? You know, or with Bryce Harper? You know, you can't tell me that Chris Bryant isn't going to talk to Bryce Harper about signing with the Cubs.
He's not?
Yeah. So I don't understand why, you know, they kind of even threw this out there. I mean, I just, to me, it was just more kind of funny because there's really nothing, you know, nothing they can do about it. It's like, too bad, so sad, right?
Pretty much. I mean, what are they going to do? Gonna find him? They can't find him. They didn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. I mean, you know, you can't really find him from having a conversation with somebody else, right?
Nope.
So I, you know, it was just kind of, you know, kind of one of those weird things when I saw it, and it's like, yes, well, they're unhappy that this is going on, and all I kept thinking to myself is, do you think they care? So, you know, I just kind of, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, great. You're unhappy. We're excited for you. Yeah. You know, I mean, and now doesn't this happen all the time? I mean, Dan, we know it happens in the NBA all the time. You got to figure it happens in baseball pretty much as well, right?
Well, you remember when David Ortiz did it? About Joey Bats, and everyone got all mad, but nothing happened.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously it's no guarantee that the Yankees are going to sign Machado or, you know, anything like that. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a lot of teams in on it, but, you know, just kind of like, I thought it was kind of humorous, and I knew you would get a kick out of it. So that's right up your alley.
What do you mean, isn't that what he's supposed to do, or he should do?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, you remember Derek Rose didn't want to do it, though, with the Bulls. You know, he wasn't gonna recruit players, so he didn't feel that was part of his job.
But yeah, I mean, it's not like he was like, hey, if you sign here, I'll buy you this, or I'll do this for you, or any of that. He just said, hey, you look good in this uniform.
Well, no, Machado makes a lot more money than Judge does. Remember, Judge's still on that. He's not even to arbitration yet. So,
no.
You know. So, but all right, well, we'll throw this wonderful thing out here because I found something for you, Dan. You know, pretty soon it's going to be that time. We're going to have to get ready for that. Those fantasy drafts, they're going to wrap up our weekend here. And they got 40 of the top, what do they describe these guys at? Fantasy, 40 top fantasy baseball prospects, Dan, our fun favorite word. They actually do a nice job with number one, and this is a guy I'm kind of interested in. Have you by any chance caught a Braves game and seen Ronald Acuna get the play yet? Yeah, he, you know, and I mean, again, it's spring training, so you always kind of wonder a little bit about it, but he's, you know, he's looked pretty well. Let me see if I can get his age here. He is 20, so you have to wonder if they'll be willing to take a chance on bringing him up, but he's had a 41 spring training at bats, Dan. He's hitting .412 with two homers, 5 RBIs, and he's stolen 4 bases. Last year, he played his way through 3 different minor league systems. started in high A, went to double A, finished the year in triple A, hit 325 with 21 homers, 82 RBIs, and 44 steals. So he's looking like a pretty interesting, as we use the term, prospect. You know, with the Braves in the situation they are, doesn't it make sense for them to go ahead and bring him up and, you know, take a shot with this guy, let him play?
Do they have room for him on the everyday major league roster?
Well, you know, they traded your guy, you know, Matt Kemp, so I thought they had made some room. Let's see if I bing their depth chart real quickly. Let's see here who comes up. We can say the name that I always butcher, Dan. Okay. They have, as of right now, they have Lane Adams as the starter in left field, Ender Enciarte in center, and then Nick Markakis in right. So you got to think the left field job is his if they want to give it to him, right?
Who's in left field again?
Lane Adams.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, you know, the odd part is, neither do I. You know, they have Preston Tucker as his backup, and I know who he is because he was a prospect in the Astros system. Lane Adams is 28. He did play 85 games for the Braves last season. Hit 275 with 5 homers and 20 RBIs. He was signed as a free agent in December of 2016 after the Cubs released him, Dan.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, that was his first regular stint in the majors. Before that, he played 6 games with the Royals back in 2014. So that's the guy they have scheduled right now ahead of Acuña. So,
well, I mean, what's his time of service status? If they bring him up now, will that bar them from keeping him that extra year unless they bring him up in June? Or you remember that whole Chris Bryant baby thing?
Yeah, I don't know, because I never know, you know, what the rule kind of is with that and when they have to work it out. Let's they say anything here. The only thing it says here is they might send him to the minors to start the season. So maybe that is a deal there with him, because they assume he'll be the left fielder, you know, not very long into the season. How long did Bryant stay down for? What was it, a couple weeks or a month or something?
Yeah. I think it was like a month. They went short then.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got to figure, you know, if this guy goes down and has a good month, you know, there's definitely room for him on the roster. So, I'm looking at, like, some of the other names, and, I mean, they have some really interesting names on here, you know, like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is second, Eloy Jimenez is third, Fernando Tatis drops in. The problem with that is all these guys are going to start at the minor league level. I don't even know if we'll see some of these guys in the majors this year. They do get the Gleyber Torres. Now, obviously, you and I spent quite a bit of time talking about him yesterday. So we kind of know what's going on with him, as of yesterday. You know, he went back to minor league camp, and eventually, you know, he'll be back. The next guy, though, is kind of interesting, and I haven't heard much about him this season. But Dan, they have a Victor Robles, who, if you remember, is the Nationals' top prospect that they just refused to trade. You know, everybody was kind of chasing after this guy, and he was the one guy they wouldn't give up. Do you think he gets his shot here with them? He's hitting .231 in 42 spring at bats. Again, I don't know how much stock we put into, spring training stuff, but, Jason Worth is gone. He's retired. So, there does look like there would be a spot for him if they wanted to, wanted to put him out there. Is it finally time to get this guy in the everyday lineup and we see what they, what they have, or being the contender that they are, do you think they have to wait?
Well, I mean, they didn't wait with Trey Turner.
No.
He's on the right team.
Yeah, you're on the right team. So,
okay,
yeah, now they, yeah, just pulling up their depth chart, they have Adam Eaton in left, Michael Taylor in center, and Bryce Harper in right. They have Robles listed as Taylor's backup in center field right now. So that I don't know. Again, who knows how accurate these things are. But
I mean, I think they'd still go with Taylor over Robles for now. I'm not, I haven't looked at their payroll stuff, so I don't know where he's at on their terms. The guy I really want to know and what you think about is Eloy. Will the Sox bring him up this year?
I don't think so. That's just kind of why I kind of skimmed past him. He only played 18 Class A games last year, or excuse me, Class Double A games last year. I think he's got to start the year there. And if he does well, maybe he finishes in Triple A and we see him maybe September or, again, maybe not till next year. But yeah, I just think, I think it's a little too soon for, him to make that kind of jump. There's a lot of interesting names, as I keep going. They have, Nick Senzel, who's going to be the future at third base for the Reds. He won't be there this year. Bo Bichette is a shortstop in the Blue Jays system. The other guy who just got sent down, Francisco Mejia, is the Indians catching prospect who, a lot of people thought had a chance to make the team, but he got sent to minor league camp, so he won't be there. They've got another White Sox here. Michael Kopech is the 100-mile-an-hour guy who, just mows guys down, but they're, I don't know if, he's kind of ready to be here. Some other names, they have Walker Buehler, the pitcher with the Dodgers, Kyle Tucker, the Astros outfielder. Scott Kingery has really put on a good show for the Phillies at second base. He looked like he had a chance to make the team, but more and more it looks like he's headed to the minors. Brett Honeywell's the Rays pitcher who's having Tommy John, so he's done. Brendan Rodgers is a Rocky shortstop I haven't heard much about. But then we get to Lewis Brinson, Dan. He's number 16 on this list. We know he's going to be the Marlins' starting center fielder. Basically, where I kind of wanted to go over this so we could kind of talk fantasy. How do you kind of handle your rookies when it comes to, the snake league? Because obviously the auction league, if it's a good deal, you can really, go after anybody. But, how do you kind of figure this out? Because, the guy's going to get the job. He's going to get the start. But there's no real comparison. So how do you kind of factor it in? What's your way of kind of leaning when you do it? Uh-oh, did I lose Dan? Or did you mute yourself? Dan, where did you go?
I didn't realize I muted myself.
There you go.
I really think it's, where he's available in the draft. If I've pretty much got the guys I want in the outfield, then I might go after him later.
So, yeah, you're not thinking of him as a starter, in center for you, unless, obviously, something kind of goes catastrophic for you?
Pretty much.
All right, well, let's run down the list a little more. I know they have A.J. Puck, who's the pitcher with the A's. I don't think he's going to be up. Mitch Keller's a Pirate pitcher. I wouldn't look for him. Hey, Dan, Forrest Whitley is the Astro pitcher who got suspended, right?
Yeah.
Okay, he made the list here. The next guy we have who should be in the majors, we have Ryan McMahon, who they actually list as a third baseman for the Rockies, but he looks like he's going to be their starting first baseman. You know, Dan, you got to figure if he's playing every day for Colorado, it's got to be a pretty interesting prospect fantasy-wise, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, their stats don't count, but I mean,
well, they do for us
every day. Yeah, I know. Does he get the job, or does he have the job?
Everything I've seen and read so far has said that he's going to be the starter. I mean, obviously, we've got a couple weeks here left for things to change, but. You know, that was part of the reason they didn't bring Mark Reynolds back was, you know, they wanted to give this guy an opportunity. And he is listed now. MLB.com did update all their depth charts, and he is listed as the starting first baseman for them. So it looks like he is going to get the opportunity to play every day for Colorado. So I thought that made him kind of interesting as a fantasy guy.
Yeah, I mean, again, it just kind of depends on where I'm at in the draft and where he is. Notable rookies, obviously, you put him in your queue and kind of just sit there and wait on him. But you know, if I'm able to land the likes of Anthony Rizzo or someone like that, you know, not really looking at him, but then you wonder,
well, no, so you
know,
and it's Rizzo second this year.
Oh yeah. But you know, and the hard thing about our league is, well, number one, I don't think this guy even gets touched or looked at in a draft in a 12, 14.
Oh,
I don't
no.
know. Is it pretty
oh,
much 12,
yeah.
14? And then everyone jumps to 20 if they do a bigger league. I guess it all depends on,
yeah.
You know, how many, you know, we're just kind of internet-based. But, you know, in 12, 14, they're not getting looked at. But in our league, you know, I'd like to say I try to sneak him by or, you know, do a pull of Mr. Fantasy. And, oh, he's still out there? But we'll have to do that to each other, Big Jack, since he's not going to be there this year. you know, I would try to keep sneak them by, but it's hard to say if we can sneak any of these guys by in our leagues.
So yeah, then, you know, at 21, they've got the guy. I've been interested in this guy for a couple years. J.P. Crawford, the Philly shortstop, finally looks, you know, Freddie Galvis is gone. It looks like the job is his. So, you know, he could be kind of interesting. 22, they have Luis Urias, the Padres second baseman. I'm not sure if he's going to be another one of those guys I think is going to go down first and then probably be brought up as the year goes on. So that's a little iffy. Kyle Wright's a Braves pitcher. I think they put too many pitchers in here because these guys aren't going to be around. 24, they've got the guy that I've seen on top of everybody's rookie of the year picks, and that's Willie Adams, the Rays shortstop. I didn't even realize they were going with a rookie at short, Dan. I thought they were going to go with Echeverria. But, I know it's a little early, but I've seen countless guys pick this guy as rookie of the year, and I didn't even know he was playing.
You know, and it's hard. I think of all the picks, that's obviously the hardest one because you don't know who's going to play and who's not. But a lot of times, you know, the mistake I've made in the past was I kind of let the mainstream picks kind of skew my view as opposed to looking at the needs and the likelihood that the rookie will actually start. Be honest, Will Myers, that was probably a lucky pick that year, but, you know, you and I try to do as much research as we can, but, you know, when the height of your research is relied upon Jonathan Mayo, you know, all these guys are going to start. You know what I mean? it's hard because, you know, you're not down there. And then, like I said, sometimes reading the national stuff and, you know, even sometimes the local, but more so the national, because, I mean, let's be honest, like Jack, you and I have tried to really dig deep into sources, and 9 out of 10 times we find out that this local paper that's online didn't even have one of their own writers put this story together. It was an AP story. Yeah. You know, while it might say Miami Herald or, you know, because you remember, I think the biggest one we really tried to dig and dig and dig for was the A-Rod scandal down in Miami with that doctor who I forgot his name already. But, you know, you and I were trying to just dig, and every single story came about from Associated Press. You know, it was like, how do you, you know, doesn't matter what city you're in, you get the same damn news because it all comes from the same source. So I try to, you know, look more towards at the teams and who I think will actually have the opportunity to play. You know, and I think with a team like the Rays, he probably has a better opportunity to play. You know, like the young kid you mentioned with the Marlins playing center field, he probably has the opportunity to play, but, you know, it's, what is it, him and Starlin Castro?
No, I'm trying to think who else I thought they brought in somebody else. Oh, well, there must be somebody there. So.
Yeah. Oh, Real Muto. Damn. JT, Real
Yes,
Muto.
He's still there. Yeah, and Justin Moore still plays first base there, so we have that going for us.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, you know, couple more as we cruise down the list. They added in a couple pitchers. Mackenzie Gore is a Padre prospect. I don't think he'll be with them this year. Justice Sheffield has already been sent down by the Yankees. He's another pitcher. At 27 and 28, they have the last two guys I think could possibly make a contribution, and they're both outfielders. Austin Hayes from the Orioles, and then oddly enough, another Austin Meadows with the Pirates. Meadows should finally get a chance to play now that McCutcheon's gone, and I believe Hayes is actually penciled in as a starter right now for the Orioles. So, you know, a couple more young guys to look at, but like the rest of this list from 29 down to 40, I don't believe we'll see any of these guys in the majors unless there's a, you know, a big time injury or it's September. So, you know, maybe if you're building a dynasty team, you know, some of these guys will be useful. Like the last guy on the list is Tyler O'Neill, the outfielder for the Cardinals. We've seen the Cardinal outfield. There's no spot for them. You know, it's Dexter Fowler, Tommy Pham, and Marcell Ozuna. And so unless somebody gets hurt, we're not going to see Tyler O'Neill. So, you know, it's just kind of how things work out. You know, they threw another White Sox in here. Luis Robert is in here. You know, they're always good choices because it's a young rebuilding team, and you never know when they might go, hey, this guy's killing it in AAA. Let's take a look at him. So, but, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, Austin Hayes and Austin Meadows are the last two guys on this list out of 40 that are going to, you know, probably get everyday at-bats in the major league. So while it's a, you know, it's an interesting list, and they, you know, they set up some good guys for you, you got to kind of pick and choose because, you know, you don't want to land, you know, especially pitcher-wise. You know, you don't want to land one of these guys because they're not going to bring pitchers up. You know, with the way they're handled today, they're going to be left down to develop. So, you know, you're always a little better off with a position player, I think. So.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Cardinal one, and I got a bad joke, but the only way anyone gets hurt, and it won't be Dexter Fowler, is after Dexter Fowler runs into one of them because he doesn't pay attention when he's playing center field.
Yeah, after Dexter Fowler takes one of them out, that's how he. That's how they get the next guy up. So, you know, yeah, just ask Kyle Schwarber, right? So.
Yeah. Well, and whoever it was last year, the year prior, he did it to somebody on the Cardinals, too.
Yeah, well, you know, he ended up hurting himself, too, last year with that. So, I think he missed a couple weeks. With an ankle or something. I don't know if it was because of that he ran into the guy, but he ended up getting, you know, getting dinged up. So, but yeah, you know, the fun, you know, the fun stuff. And then, you know, as we always kind of, you know, kind of hunt for sleepers, you know, you also have the guys that, you know, a lot of the experts think are overvalued. And what I found interesting about this list, Dan, is these are guys we really like. So this guy, you know, I got to hunt down. Let me grab the name here. Chris Towers is the guy who wrote this article. And, you know, I'm not sure if I totally agree with some of his choices, but this has a lot to do with where they're being drafted that he thinks they're overvalued. And believe it or not, Dan, he actually starts his list off with Paul Goldschmidt. Now, you know, Goldschmidt is a top, you know, probably top five pick in most leagues. Do you see him as an overvalued guy?
I mean, it's easy to say that because there's the possibility that he gets hurt, which seems to have been, you know, over the last couple of seasons. But I don't think so. And I think one of the reasons he becomes overvalued is because the Diamondbacks seem to take off but then slow down throughout the season.
Yeah, you know, because it was a little weird. Is like, you know, I actually kind of had him as more of a sneaky kind of guy because, you know, he's that guy playing out in Arizona that nobody thinks a lot about until you look at his, yeah, until you look at his numbers. So I thought that was really interesting. And then his, you know, his next two picks hit kind of close to home to you. He's got Corey Seager and Kenley Jansen being overvalued. And again, his definition of overvalued means they're being drafted too early. Like he has Jansen going as number 39 overall and then Seager at 31. Ooh. So they would both be second round picks in our league. While I agree that's probably a little too early for Jansen, I don't know if 31 is really a bad spot for Seager. You know, that's pretty close to where he might go.
Yeah, I mean, and you can say he's overvalued, but the whole point of drafting, especially that early, is to get a full-time starting player. Isn't that the point? Or did I forget something about fantasy sports?
Yeah, well, you know, and as a second rounder, I mean, I don't see him that bad as a pick as a second rounder, especially as a, you know, as a shortstop. So.
No, and I think part of it that's skews it, and, you know, it's so hard because there's a lot of guys, myself included sometimes, that, you know, we're picking at what's on the board, especially in your traditional snake style.
Yeah.
You know, you're not trying to reach down too far. And, you know, I think if in the first three, four rounds, if you've scrolled down, you know, what would you say, three times, you're reaching a little bit. You should probably go for what's in front of you. So I think sometimes maybe that's where it could be thrown off. And, you know, I think if you look more so at what the values of, you know, the league or the, what we call the servicer, I don't know what you call it, you know, the Yahoo, CBS or ESPN or whatever league you're in, I think that all depends on the way they value them.
Yeah. So, now, you know, the next one here, I kind of agree with him here. He's got Andrew Benintendi, who they have going at 42nd, which would put him, you know, just at the top of the third round in our league. You know, this is a guy, you know, Dan, I really like this guy as a player, but I don't know if he's in that tier of outfielders, you know, because the power really hasn't come yet. You know, if he was a 25, 30 homer guy, I would be a little more into it with him, but I don't know if he'll ever get to be that guy. So, you know, that's a little iffy for me there. And You know, I'm sorry, Dan has to take his customary break here because we get to a guy I believe that Dan has had on his team for the last couple of years. They have Dallas Keuchel on this list as being overvalued because he's going at number 61. I don't know. Is Keuchel, you know what, that puts him in the middle of the third round? 20, 40, 60, well, 61, yeah, right at the top of the third round or fourth round. I don't know. Now I lost myself. But, he's that seems like a pretty good number for him, especially on the Astros. You look like it, especially, if you're in a league that's going to count wins, he should rack up some wins. You know, you'd figure 15 to 18. If things go right, he's in the 20s. That could be right there. He had that injury a couple years ago, but he seems to be past that. It's just tough to say that he's overvalued there. After that, we throw another outfielder on here, and I can agree with this. He's got A.J. Pollock going at 65. It's a little too early. Don't get me wrong. Pollock is actually a fantastic player. Of course, the problem is he just doesn't stay healthy. I can't remember. I'm actually going to have to Bing AJ here and take a look at his stats because I cannot remember the last time he had what you would consider a full healthy season, under his belt. And we had him, Mr. Fantasy and I had him last year in the Money League, and he did play 112 games. And, he wasn't bad. He wasn't great. 266 with 14 homers and 49 RBIs, but he did steal 20 bases. Remember, in 2016, he only played 12 games. All right, now with a full season under his belt, 2015, he played 157 games. He got the 20 home runs, 76 RBIs, but remember, he's in the upper part of that order, sometimes even leading off. He did steal 39 bases, and he hit 315. So, again, the problem is that's the only year he's had a full season. In 2014, he played 75 games. He had another kind of full year in 2013. He did play 137 games. So you don't ever get the best out of A.J. Pollock. But, if you hit him on the year that he's going to play 150 games, you might have a steal on your hands. He could be a guy that could really help you out, because obviously he's a good hitter and he's gonna get on base. He's gonna score runs, and he's a 20 plus steal guy. And those are a little tougher to come by in Major League Baseball now. I definitely it's a tough pick. When you're looking at him sitting on top of the board. He sat there for quite a while last year, probably four or five rounds before Mr. Fantasy and I decided he was a value enough pick for us to grab him. And, I think we got our money's worth out of him, but you can't take him in the third round like that. He's got to be back in, 8, 9, 10, because you just never know. He's got such an injury history. It's difficult. So.
Who is that?
But I was on A.J. Pollock. But since you're back, I wanted to ask you, I can skip back to this guy. Believe it or not, they had Dallas Keuchel on this list as the 61st pick being overvalued. I don't think I buy that one, and I know you're a big Dallas Keuchel guy. That puts him, 20, 40, 60 – just outside the third round. If I'm getting Dallas Keuchel at the top of the, the top of the fourth round there, I don't think I'm complaining.
No, not at all. I mean, obviously Kershaw's going to be off the board. Chances are Zach Greinke's going to be off the board.
You figure Scherzer's gone, Strasburg's gone, Sale's probably gone. Corey Kluber's probably off the board. Yeah, John Lester, if I'm sitting at number four, Justin Verlander's probably going to be gone because he's getting the opening day start for Houston. you know, yeah. I'm not complaining if Dallas Keuchel is there and I need a pitcher.
Well, and he's, you know, he's died on me.
Yeah, I was going to you, you know, whatever you started to say, you cut out in the middle as soon as you started to talk.
You know, I heard you mention right before I stepped out, I had to take the Bluetooth off for a second, but, you know, you mentioned he's a win guy, but he's also a strikeout guy when he's on. So, you know, when you throw out the fact that Jake Arrieta is still going to be hanging around there, he's definitely probably going to go in the fourth, fifth round. And if you're in tune and looking at these two guys, I'm going with Keuchel because he's going to give you more innings, most likely more,
yeah.
more wins, like you mentioned. And then the strikeouts are going to be there.
Yeah, you know, in our league, you know, innings count. We have to make a set amount of innings, and he'll give you innings. So, but yeah, I thought when I saw that name, I was disappointed that I knew you had to go hook up the baby. I was like, damn it, Dan left just before his guy came up. So,
yeah, I didn't
but
have
the next guy, girl,
I have the full face.
Oh, yeah, I thought you did.
No, it wasn't last year.
The next guy they throw up another reliever, no surprise. They throw up Corey Knebel here with the Brewers. Locked in at 72. That's too high to take Knebel. We don't even need to go into relievers again because I really want to go to this next guy. Now, they list him here, Dan, as a starting pitcher at 75 is too high to take Shohei Ohtani. I'm under the impression you completely agree with this one.
Yes and no. I mean, it may be, but he's going higher.
Yeah, you think he goes before the 75? Well, the pitching part of him, because remember, he's two guys in our lead. So. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not going after the hitter Ohtani, because if the hitter Ohtani was the only thing going for the Angels, he would have. Well, I don't know which one he would have been. He would have been sent down or demoted or cut because of his name. But, you know, he wouldn't – I don't think he'd be playing major league ball this year as a hitter. But as a pitcher, you know, but maybe that's about right. It may be overrated or overvalued, but when you start looking, he might be one of the next best things out there. Especially in our league. I mean, 20 teams, we've most likely by 70 – what is that? Fifth round, we've at least gone through the top 10, 15 starters. So he's right up. He's right, I think, where he should be in our league.
So, yeah, and then they go to number 80. They have a guy being drafted at number 86 is Domingo Santana from the Brewers. You know, this is a gigantic overvalue, Dan, because with the addition of Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain, there's a pretty good chance this guy isn't going to get the kind of at-bats he had last year. So I want to know who the hell's picking Domingo Santana at 86. So
was this before the signings? Or?
It doesn't have a date, so I'm not quite sure here. So, yeah, we don't need to go into that one too much. This next one here, Dan, I totally disagree with. They actually have back-to-back twins at 95 and 96. At 95, they say it's too early to take Miguel Sano. You know, Dan, if this guy is healthy, you know, from all signs, no big deal. It looks like he's coming back from that injury from last year. You know, he's a 30-plus homer guy as a third baseman. 95 seems like a pretty good deal there, you know. I mean, just before the end of the fifth round, I don't think I'm complaining too much if I'm looking for that third baseman in our league and sitting there right before the sixth round kicks off. I don't think it's a bad choice, but they've got it as being too early.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Bryant and Justin Turner. Give me another one, Machado.
Yeah.
Or Machado's gonna.
Josh Donaldson.
Josh Donaldson.
Yeah.
Give me one more. There's got to be one more third baseman that everyone's going to covet.
Alex Bregman.
Yeah, Bregman. So we've got those five, and those are pretty much the top five in Major League Baseball. after that, you're pretty much, I don't want to say you're scraping or scrapping or whatever you want to call it, but Sano's going to be readily available. You better take him if he's available right at that spot.
See, and the humorous thing with that list, Dan, is there's a good chance he'll out homer every one of those guys except Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
So, you know. But, yeah, I said back-to-back Twins. They go with 96's Jose Berrios. This is another one of those situations, Dan, is I don't know who's reaching to make this pick. You know, I mean, he's been a potential breakout guy for years now and hasn't really done it. So I don't know why you're reaching it at 96 to get Berrios. There's going to be better guys out there, aren't there?
Yeah, well, for us, is that even in the sixth round yet?
No. No, this is the bottom of the fifth is where, you know, we're at in our league.
So I think that's definitely a reach on our end. 12 teams, you know, you do the math. What is that? Ninth round, roughly? Ninth round. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's still going to be some valuable starters still out there. So it might be a little bit of a reach.
Yeah, and then the last one he wraps up with, and I totally understand this one. He has Alex Wood of the Dodgers at 99 being too overvalued. You know, he had such a good year last year, and you've just got to wonder, you know, if it was a fluke and, you know, can he continue it? So I totally get why he's, you know, he's plugging him in there. That makes sense to me, even though, you know, I don't think I would berate anybody for taking him there. You know, coming off the year he's had, if you're believing he's got the, you know, the skills to repeat and he stays healthy, you know, he's on the Dodgers, so he's going to rack up some wins. You know, just depending on how your category league is set up, that could be really important. You know, but I can see, you know, I could go either way there. You know, I could see where you could consider him overrated or, you know, you're fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, well, the one thing I wanted to throw at you with Alex Wood, and you wonder how much of this helped, you know, his season last year and if it'll continue to help this year, was that six-day DL. You know, you got a little blister. He seems a little tired, so you put him on that six-day going – well, he's got a blister and he can't really grip the ball. Well, does he really? They don't really check these things. So, you know, skipping a start or two might not be such a big deal and may have actually helped him extend his season last year.
So, yeah, and, you know, they should be able to do that again, you know, this year without too big an issue. So, you know, we'll have to see how But, you know, you just, you know, you never know. I can understand that one. Huh. All right, well, I'm done. I think it went really fast. Maybe it was just me. But we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to wrap the week with the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. Bob, Dan, and I are gone. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out what goes on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter if you'd like to do that. We don't have a problem with that. As always, big thanks for coming on and listening live. It's really cool when you do that. But, hey, you can go listen to the podcast anytime you want over at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.